This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that is today brought to you by the letter O. We are here with Omar of The Other O Show. See, that's how my, it's where my ad lib comes from. Isn't that clever?
Everybody super duper clever.
Yeah. So, Omar, you are one of our affiliates. You were one of our first affiliates, as a matter of fact.
That's true.
And I believe you were one of the first people to be doing podcasting in Georgia. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure I'm one of the first ones. I'm certainly one of the first gay podcasters out there. I started podcasting last August and have done about 179 shows. I've been on some other shows, so I guess it goes more than 179.
That's a lot of shows.
Yes, it is a lot of shows.
That's pretty impressive.
For the most part, they're all around 30 minutes. I've done a couple of longer casts, but I tried to keep it to 30 minutes because I really felt like most people tune into TV to see a sitcom, and it's still, I think it still is, a couple of years later, an emerging medium, and people are still kind of figuring out, is a 5-minute cast? No, that's too short. You know, 30 minutes seem to be the magic number for a lot of people, so I usually try to start a certain way and end a certain way and have it be around 30 minutes, so yeah, it seems to keep changing.
But that's okay.
What gave you the idea to start to begin with?
I really felt like, let's see, how do I put this? I had lots of friends in college that we all hung out together, and when I moved to Georgia, I really didn't have that network, and all my friends were out of the state, and the people that I knew here, you know, could only handle me talking for a certain amount of time before they were like, you know what, why don't you go talk to somebody else? So this was, you know, no one could say, hey, Omar, can you stop talking? I would just be like me going on saying whatever I wanted to say about whatever I wanted to talk about. And it just really felt liberating to do that. It allowed me to say things. It was almost like having a therapy session at the end of like a day or the end of a couple of days and being able to really speak your mind without a lot of editing or having to worry about any kind of censorship or. And in the beginning, it's probably a little bit more free form than it is now. Now I try to be mindful of some of the things I'm saying, but. That's really kind of how it started, just an outlet for just, you know, everything that was going on in my head.
And what made you decide to do a podcast rather than a blog? I know that's the reason why a lot of people start blogs, but podcasting, you know, is very new, obviously. Is it, do you just like talking more, verbally expressing yourself more, or did you even think about it?
Well, I'd done a website for several years, and that sort of has a few different, you know, iterations. But there was something about one of the things I like are listening to audiobooks, especially if it's an author that I really like. So somebody like David Sedaris, who I think is really a very talented author, there's something so much better about listening to him read the stories himself.
Yeah.
And I feel like you get more of it. It's almost like looking at a picture or seeing a moving picture like a movie. Obviously, there's more dimensions to it. You get more out of it. And I guess I just felt like the things I needed to say were a whole lot easier to do it that way than to try to type out some structured, like, you know, I'm going to do an essay or I'm going to... That felt too weird. It felt a whole lot more comfortable for me to just kind of say what was on my mind. So I guess that's really...
So how much preparation would you say you put into a show? Little, none, a lot?
Some shows, not so much. Other shows... really what happens is, and this is what started a long time ago, is I just kept a little notebook. And things would be happening to me throughout the day, and I would just jot down a little note. Only I wouldn't, like, write out the whole story. It would be like, you know, fat lady slipping on banana at Kroger. And then that's all I'd say. And then, like, in my mind, when I'd read those words, I would be like, oh, yeah, I was at the Kroger today. Let me tell you what happened. And then that way you kind of tell the story. But I learned you don't try to write out some long sentence because, and then now it's like, you know, it's like Lady Banana Kroger. And I'd be like, oh, okay. I know what I'm talking about today.
Just enough to evoke the memory.
Exactly. Just an example. Hypothetical, of course. You know. Right. I forbid I'd ever talk about anybody.
Well, anyway, on that note, you said that your podcast started out being more freeform and now is a little less so. How exactly has it grown more structured or...
Well, I think that it's funny because it's been a year that I've been doing this, and I really feel like I've sort of grown up a little bit in this medium and just being able to express yourself. You don't realize how different different it is to talk to somebody for 30 minutes straight when they're not in front of you. Mm-hmm. When you're just talking to a microphone for 30 minutes, it's very different than having a conversation with a friend where there are those pauses. And so I think early on, there were a lot more, maybe a couple of times where we might pause. And I don't know. I really feel like I think about the things that I'm going to say earlier on in the day, whereas before I might write, you know, Fat Lady Banana Kroger. Now I might be kind of thinking about how, you know, I don't know, what's wrong with the healthcare system because, you know, that's why she's fat. I don't know. That's not a good example. But
wow.
I kind of do some thinking about it. And now most of the stuff I talk about isn't really that serious. A lot of it is making light of a lot of things. I mean, I do get a little political sometimes, but the state of our country is...
It's kind of hard not to right now.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So I don't know. I think I'm saying that. It's not like my shows are, you know, more cerebral now than they were before. But I feel like they're, I don't know. I guess, I feel like they are more. But
does that answer your question? Yes, that answers. Is it weird for you to go back and listen to some of your early shows?
I don't usually do that. Because
I don't know if I would either.
It's almost like you're it's like snapping a picture. It's like yeah. It's a moment in time, and it's how you were feeling that day. And then half the time I listen to things. And the times I've gone back, I did a show for my for the 50th show and the 100th show and the 150th show. I did shows where I went back and, you know, took little clips and tried to go back and listen and try to find funny clips. Like, find the funny clips from the past 100 shows. Well, you end up listening to yourself and you're thinking, oh, Lord, why would people still be listening after hearing this garbage, you know? But I think what comes through is when you listen to someone, you know, you don't talk to your friends for 30 minutes a day. Or necessarily a couple hours a week if you do a podcast a couple times a week. And I think over time, people really get to know you in a way that, you know, you don't know a lot of people in your life. Maybe acquaintances you don't know as well as podcasters that you listen to. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that way, people think that I'm like, you know, their friend that they listen to on the phone, only they're listening to me on the drive to work or on their iPod when they're walking around Piedmont Park or something. And so, I don't know. I think that that's...
Do you have people who just come up to you and say, wow, I heard your podcast, and you've never met these people, and you have no idea who they are? Has that ever happened to you?
It actually has. It hasn't happened very often. It certainly doesn't happen. It happened here with a listener named Stan, and that was very cool. He was at a bar and noticed me, and I'm just a guy. You know, I mean, like, I think to them it's like a sort of a quasi-celebrity moment because they have in their mind, like, what you are, whatever. And so he was actually kind of starstruck, which I thought was, you know, kind of sweet and endearing. But, you know, it's just me, you know.
Does that weird you out at all?
It was just funny to me because, obviously, like, I'm not a celebrity. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm just a regular guy. So it was like, no, really? It's okay. Let's take a picture. Come on. Let's put it on the website. It'll be good, you know. So I did. And it's on there. But one time I was at Mary's, which is a bar here in town, and... somebody from the upstairs little balcony yelled out, hi, the other O. And I'm like looking up like, what the? And I, you know, couldn't really tell who it was. But that's, you know, that's
somebody
all.
Spotted you.
That's right.
So do you have listeners from all over? Where's your fan base?
My fan base is all over the place. I have listeners in the UK. I have listeners in... I had like one listener in China. I had like a couple of listeners in Australia. I've got listeners all across the US. I mean, it's just really mind-blowing. I have a Frapper map, and there's 125 people, and you can just see them on the map, and they're just kind of all over the place.
We have seven.
Yeah, people haven't been too enthusiastic about the Frapper map yet.
Yeah, I don't know, for a while. And it's funny, because you have to kind of keep chatting it up. If you don't mention that on every show, people forget. And if you don't... And I just take it for granted, all that's on the website, that everybody just goes to the website. But some people just kind of need to be told and retold.
And I don't like their redesign, but anyway, that's...
They did that crazy flash thing. I don't know that it works as good as the other
one. It doesn't. Like, you can't, like, pull it around, and, like, nobody can see me with my hand gestures right now, but I'm, you know, I'm visually pulling the map around. You can't do that anymore, so Frapper, on the off chance you're listening, put it back the way it was.
Frapper, get it fixed. Well, we'll put a Frapper tag in there, and I bet it'll show up in Technorati.
I bet it will.
And then maybe they'll hear it.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea.
So, sort of on the same subject, not really, but I'm going to try to segue into it. How have you gone about promoting your podcast and getting all these listeners?
Well, the first thing I did was get listed on iTunes, which I'm very happy to say that I've been on the featured podcasts on iTunes for quite some time, just been really kind of surprising because there have been so many podcasts that have been added. But mm-hmm. I think just partially because I've been on there for so long mm-hmm. Has been a factor. That was one thing. Let's see. Just there's another website for the gay podcast, the queer cast, called QPodder.com. Mm-hmm. And so I've always posted, when I make a post to my website, the other O.com, I've always posted to QPodder.com. Mm-hmm. So that kind of opens it up to that. But between, you know, adding things in Frapper, I've just, you know, tried to get myself listed on a lot of those listing sites, which mm-hmm. in the beginning was kind of hard to figure out which one was the good one or which one, because there's everything from that pickle business to Odeo to just...
It's long story about the pickle business.
Yeah, there's just so much stuff, and I don't know. So I just try to get myself listed on a lot of those sites to hopefully get some exposure. Yeah. But really, it's been being mentioned on other podcasts, mm-hmm. and they say, you know, they mention something or calling into other podcasts mm-hmm. and leaving messages on their comment lines mm-hmm. has been a good way, because then all of their listeners are hearing right. about that show. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I've started listening to a bunch of podcasts. So,
And just time, too, probably. I mean, you've been doing it for over a year, so you're like an old hand at it in podcasting years.
It's a lot easier. It's funny, because when I first started, I would get really nervous when I started, and I'd be like, okay, and I'd be like almost ready to push the button, and then I'd be like, okay, here we go, and then I'd push the button, and then I would like go, and then now it's like, okay, here we go, let's do it, because, you know, it was crazy when I started realizing it was, okay, now I've done 50 hours, now I've done, you know, there's a lot of my voice out there at this point.
If you ever run for office... You're kind of screwed.
Come on, there's so much good material. They can just splice it together.
Yeah. I mean, you've kind of made your own campaign commercial, right?
Pretty much.
So you were featured in Southern Voice a few months ago.
I was.
Atlanta gay podcaster. Did you get any more, I don't know, listeners? Or, like, did anything cool happen to you because of that?
I thought it was cool because I'd always read that newspaper, and I just thought it was great to get some, like, local publicity. But, yeah, not really. It seems like people
That's
in
how we found out about you, though.
So. Oh, really? In Southern Voice?
Yeah.
Well, rock on. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they approached me, and they were just really kind of like, what's going on with podcasting? What do you think? And that was one day I was on the phone on the drive home. I work up in Alpharetta, but I live in Midtown, and I hate 400, by the way. And it was just a terrible ride home. And I basically just sat on the phone and just kind of, like, let it all out. And that was that interview.
Oh, wow.
So, and then I read it, and I was like, wow, I actually sound smart. This is good. I don't sound like an idiot. So that was a good thing. But, I got some listeners, but I wouldn't say a lot. I don't think people in Atlanta have really been clued into the whole mm-hmm. podcasting thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are podcasts in Chicago, and there's a gazillion of them. There's a gazillion of them. And mm-hmm. here, you look, and there's, like, you know, yes, it's growing, and yes, now, mm-hmm. you know, a year or so later, it seems to be growing, but you don't see people mm-hmm. all hooked and talking about podcasts in Atlanta as
and
much as you.
And that's what we're trying to help people do.
Exactly.
Here there on the Georgia Podcast Network.
Absolutely. Well.
All right. Well, now that I've put in that little plug once again.
Well, there you go. Well, one of the reasons that I joined the Georgia uh-huh. Podcast Network, you know, I had to check it out, make sure it was a legit site. But
you're right. What is this crap?
A subject that comes in and it was like, hi, opium poisoning.
check it out. That was a spam that a friend of ours got. So that was a little inside joke.
Yeah. Hi, anyway, opium poisoning.
Yeah, that was the start of a spam.
Nice. So, like, that was their handle somewhere?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I just thought it was good to help promote having mm-hmm. podcasts and just mm-hmm. listening to, being exposed to people that you would never meet. And I think that's mm-hmm. really one of the things that I've always enjoyed about podcasting is that there are several podcasts that I've listened to of people that I'm sure I will never meet in my mm-hmm. days on this world, but that have brought me some laughs or brought me things to think about or have just entertained me with, you know, just hearing their voices and hearing what their thoughts were about things or how they, you know, feel about the world around them. And we have kind of lost that in this world. I mean, it's amazing how just the power of one voice can be so incredible, and that just regular people can still say and still have important things to say and share with friends or with the public. So this is a way to do that without the FCC or NBC or whoever saying, no, you can't say that.
Yeah, for now anyway.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Well,
yeah.
I'm definitely,
it's a whole other track.
I am definitely in support of free speech.
Yes. Well, do you have any... plans for where you want the podcast to go going into the second year of your podcasting career?
Oh, see, I knew you were going to ask that. Right now, it's
you don't
really...
have to have a good answer. I hate those questions, too.
Well, I think I would like to get a co-host. When I started the other O Show, I started with a co-host, and that ended a couple of months. That lasted for... He was on for about 50 shows, and then, you know, obviously flash forward to 180, which is where I'm going to be. My next show is 180. And I guess it'd be good to have another person and someone to co-host, just because it would be good to have somebody to bounce, you know, things off, and then I don't have to talk for 30 minutes straight, which I know everybody thinks is just so easy, but it would be nice to get, you know, a little drink of water in between.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think getting a co-host, and I'd always toyed with doing more kind of segments, and I just don't have time. Like, I need someone to help me so that I can have time to, you know, edit little things together or have little fun intro music or...
Put in more eagle noises.
There you go. More of that kind of thing going on. So yeah.
Maybe we'll stick that noise into this.
Excellent.
I think we have to use the eagle noise.
I don't know why, but it's so funny every time.
Yeah.
Oh, and I almost forgot. The one question I can't believe I forgot to ask this. How'd you come up with the name, Other O?
Well, Oprah has always been an inspiration to me. It's not that dramatic. I don't know. It was really hard to try to find something that is just unique, because obviously, you know, anything remotely clever has kind of already been taken. So for a long time, my website, and it still is VivaOmar.com. And I was going to just be Viva Omar, but you can't just be Viva Omar. So everyone kept, I'd meet people and they'd say, Diva Omar? And I'd be like, no, stop drinking.
You
know?
Explain it every time.
You know, no, that's not it. So somewhere along the lines, I came up with the other O, because I figured I'm never going to get, you know, the O magazine or O. And the more I started thinking about O, what can I do with O for Omar? It was like, okay, well, I'm not going to win. She's a billionaire. Okay, I get it. So I was like, I'm going to be the other O. And that's kind of where it started. So,
very nice.
Excellent.
Well, any final thoughts? Want to plug your show, plug your stuff? Or
Go to theotherO.com. You can email me, omar@theotherO.com, and call my comment line, 206-984-2661.
We haven't memorized our phone number.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
It took a while.
All right. Thanks, Omar.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.